How much money do you lose every time you miss a customer call? With a Buzz CRM, you never have to worry about that again. Their system automatically texts missed calls and engages leads instantly using conversational AI. It turns your missed opportunities into booked appointments automatically. It's a complete game changer for local businesses. Secure your access today for a massive discount at thebuzzcrm.com. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
Hi, everybody. It's Richard Zwicky with High on Healthy. And joining us today, we have Dr. Tom Soloway Pinkson, who is a psychologist and ceremonial leader and whose life work bridges indigenous wisdom, depth psychology, and psychedelic medicine. Welcome aboard the show, Tom.
Thanks for having me. A pleasure to be here.
You know, it's great to have you on, and you've recently published a book called The Psychedelic Shaman, The Wisdom Path of Shamanic Awakening. And I was curious that in an era where psychedelics, ketamine, MDMA, and of course psilocybin are entering clinical and commercial settings, how does traditional shamanic approach differ, not just in the chemistry and neurobiology, but in the perspective of ritual and community?
Well, I think a key dynamic with indigenous spirituality, indigenous wisdom is understanding is a world framework, a cosmological vision, understanding of the universe in which everything's conscious. Everything's alive. Everything has a spirit. And so if you're working with a psychedelic plant that comes out of Mother Earth, it has its physical material, obviously. It has its pharmacological dynamics, but it also has a spirit. And if you're seeking for healing or transformation or deeper insight or understanding, connection, then primary dynamic is connecting in a respectful and humble way with the spirit of the plant, not just taking a physical material substance into you in a clinical setting. So I think that's a primary difference between the clinical setting and the indigenous understanding of right relationship with an elder that comes out of Mother Earth, whose purpose is to help us wake up to who we are, what we are, interconnectedness with creation.
For sure. But, you know, I know when, like, you do a psilocybin journey, you do feel incredibly connected and you see and experience things which are, they're not clinical at all. How do we help awaken the consciousness and collective harmony in both, and how do they differ in terms of what we walk away with after?
Well, it's every time you take a psychedelic medicine, it's opening a doorway with access to the unconscious, personal unconscious, the collective unconscious, as well as higher states and transpersonal states of consciousness. And so what's going to come through that door, you never know, no matter what the circumstances are setting you take that medicine in. So there's no guarantee of what you're going to experience, other than if you take enough and you surrender into it, you're going to have some kind of experience. I think the primary difference is just in terms of the worldviews between the Western medicine worldview, the Eurocentric worldview based on the illusionary perceptions of separation or things or objects relating to one another, as compared to a worldview of understanding from indigenous people. Pay attention to how nature works. It's pretty much the same view that particle physicists are telling us. There's no such thing as separation. It's all connected in an interwoven field of whatever you want to call it, cosmic foam or whatever you want to, spirit or whatever you want to call it. So the two different worldviews, one material reality and one spiritual reality, are represented in the two different models of working with the medicines. How can we, if I understood the other part of your question, is how can we raise consciousness about the importance of the spiritual aspect?
Exactly. Exactly. Well, because it strikes me that, you know, when people go into the one path, they're looking for themselves, whereas when they're going through the shamanic path, they're also looking for themselves within the community. And there's very big differences in that.
Yeah, it's the difference between, instead of about, it's about me, it's about we. And it's about thee, meaning spirit, or the creator, the creation, nature, whatever you want to call that. So I think a lot of the problems we have today is because the emphasis in Eurocentric cultural conditioning is about me. It's all about me. And as long as I get my needs met, everything's okay. The rest of the world go to hell or in a handbasket, which it is. And it's that perception from Eurocentric conditioning about the belief in separation.
Right.
I think that's the root cause of where all the problems come from. Why? Because it's going against the reality of the universe, in which there is no separation. So if I believe in separation, if you're a Muslim or the sex or politics or something I don't like, and my fears are drummed up by people who know how to do that, then my fears are exacerbated and I can take it out on you. And therein is the cause of violence. But when we understand we're brought up in a culture and psychedelics can help us open up to the truth that there is no separation, that we're all interconnected, then there's a recognition that what I do to you, I'm doing to myself, I'm doing to my children, I'm doing to my grandchildren. And the only solution really is not a win where one person wins or one culture or one group wins at the expense of another. That's a loss for both in the long run. The only win is a win-win for everybody involved. So that's the difference between the two understandings of a reality. It's not about me, it's about we. How can we work together? A beautiful example of this that I shared in a retreat I did this last weekend is it's very easy to get seduced by the terrible things happening in the world, right?
Yes.
To innocent people. And to fall into despair or anger, depression, give up itis. Because there's so many difficult situations happening in the world. But get in your car. When you get in your car, and the reason you get in your car is because you have a clear understanding of where you want to go. You want to get somewhere. So you get in that 1,000-pound vehicle, goes 60, 70 miles an hour. You get on a highway with hundreds of thousands of other people. And 99.9% of the time, you get to where you want to go. Why? Because everybody is cooperating with certain agreements, transcending the polarizations of color and size and shape and religion and politics. Everybody's cooperating to be able to accomplish something that individually none of us could accomplish. So to me, it's such a beautiful example of it's not about me, it's about we. When we work together cooperatively from that understanding of how we are interconnected, we can create situations that solve and address the root causes and the problems we have and create the kind of win-win world for all that we're capable of creating. So psychedelic medicine has the potential to open ourselves up to help us metabolize, you might say, the undigested material, psychic, energetic material in our pipes that clogs our pipes, closes our hearts with fear and ignorance and arrogance and cultural conditions of greed, materialism, and open us up to, it's like Rajiv said many years ago, the most effective prison is the one we don't know we're in.
That's very true, because we don't see the prison around us because we no longer see the forest. We just see the trees around it, to use a common analogy. And, I'm interested, that analogy about, fear and ignorance becomes the rule for so many people because it's the easy path. It's easy to be ignorant. It's easy to just take other people's opinions and adopt them because we like a little bit, so we like all of it. And we move down strange paths when we take enough of a step back and look at the rest of the world around us. But what originally drew you to this area of psychedelic medicine, and how do you see both your work and the space has evolved over the period you've been involved?
When I was a undergraduate at San Francisco State in 1965, which was just the start of like the psychedelic renaissance,
right?
I was very politically involved in the war against Vietnam and demonstrations, and I was very cynical and pessimistic and an atheist and a materialist. But I was interested in the unconscious. And with the burgeoning psychedelics all around me, when I transferred up to San Francisco State in 65 from junior college in LA, it was all over. And I was interested in it as a tool to explore the unconscious. When I read about and hear about people's experience about spirituality, this, that, and the other things, that's just hallucinations. I'm interested in exploring the contents of the unconscious. So after a year's preparation within myself, I felt ready to go ahead and take an initial experience with three people that I respected in a quiet setting. And that totally blew out the fuse box of my understanding of reality. In my first book, The Shamanic Wisdom of the Huichols, The Ancient Medicine for Modern Times, I explore or I share those three visions, but it was totally numinous. It was totally spiritual experience that, as I said, blew out the fuse box of my understanding. So that set me on a whole course of trying to understand what I'd experienced and how to access those expanded states without having to take LSD or something else. So I got involved in yoga and meditation and many other practices that I continue to this day. But I continue to work with the medicine on a regular basis because it helps me stay open and grow. And the ceremonies that I do with people, I see the results it brings. So I continue to do it, even though I'm 80 years old and it takes more energy out of me and more afterwards to come back to baseline. What I see, what happened since the 60s, we saw the fear-based, ignorance-based repression of the use of psychedelics, and went underground and continued underground. And in the last, you know, whatever, 5 or 10 years, 15 years, it's coming more open into the mainstream through the clinical medical model, which is a whole lot better than keeping it repressed. So I'm happy to see it coming out that way. I have concerns about that a materialist society can use some of that for a capitalist system just for monetary gain, another way to do that. So I have concerns about it, and I do have some concerns about just the clinical model, as I mentioned earlier, not honoring the spiritual aspect of the work.
Yeah, and you know, the clinical model is, of course, it's funded by particular groups, and it's trying to address things from a perspective in an area, which is still valuable if we do it right. Because, quite honestly, yeah, you know, one of the fundamental tenets of the show is there's no one path to healthy. It's going to be a combination of things, and it's going to be personalized, unique for each individual, and the areas we attack or deal with at any given time will vary through the process. So, you know, somebody who's trying to deal with a particular issue, that may be the right solution for them in that moment, but it doesn't mean it cures them holistically. It helps them address one area, which actually leads me to the question, which is, how do you look at and how do you feel about, you know, the use of psilocybin mushrooms and things outside of the traditional sacred context?
Richard, go ahead.
Pardon me? Did you lose me?
I couldn't hear your question because you froze up. So say it again, please.
Okay, Brasco, do you have me? Wonder if Brasco's frozen. Okay, we'll take 5 seconds and go back to it. Okay. So, Tom, in the context of what you were just saying, how do you look at, you know, psilocybin and, of course, mushrooms, of course, psilocybin, in the context of healing and awakening when it's used outside of a sacred or traditional context? Because there's no one path to healing.
Well, I agree with you. I used to be, in my youth, a mountain climber, and there's different routes to get up a mountain. Right. But when you get to the mountain, the summit, you see the same view.
Very true.
So I recognize and validate the benefits that can come to people who are suffering from depression or whatever, anxiety. And I work with people individually using some of those medicines, always in a context, a spiritual context that I've learned about from my elders. So I value and I'm glad for whatever can help people in a meaningful way, in whatever context, as long as it's done responsibly and respectfully, and it's above board. People are treated with integrity. So whatever helps people, I'm all for. And go ahead.
Yeah. And what does acting as ethically and responsibly with psychedelics look like to you, and what's being done that isn't?
How much money do you lose every time you miss a customer call? With Abuzz CRM, you never have to worry about that again. Their system automatically texts missed calls and engages leads instantly using conversational AI. It turns your missed opportunities into booked appointments automatically. It's a complete game changer for local businesses. Secure your access today for a massive discount at thebuzzcrm.com. That's thebuzzcrm.com. Tired of social media censorship? Frustrated by restrictions on TV, billboards, and traditional radio? CannabisRadio.com is the only platform where you can connect directly with over 1 million dedicated listeners without the limitations. Advertise your product freely to high-value, educated decision makers. Launch your unrestricted campaign today. Email Brasco, B-R-A-S-C-O, at CannabisRadio.com.
Our culture is about taking.
Right.
The more material, the more power, the more status I can acquire and gather, the better I am, the more meaningful I am. My life is, supposedly. But none of that feeds the soul.
Fair.
So our souls are starved, and we're trying to feed it in ways that create more anxiety, more. So that taking and wanting to take is a reflection of the ignorance about how nature works, how the universe works. That when we take, we need to give. The indigenous understanding is we're being fed by forces, power, spirits, whatever you want to call it, that we don't control, that are bigger than us. The food we eat comes out of Mother Earth. The water comes out of, the rain or the whatever, the river, Earth. We're being fed by air. We're being fed by the fire. Our bodies are made of stardust. Our lives are fueled by stardust, a gift coming to us from something taking place 93 million miles away. So our lives are totally dependent on forces larger than us. People who pay attention to how nature works recognize that we have to take for our lives, whether we're vegetarians or not, we're still taking for our lives. We have to take lives. But do you take it consciously, respectfully, and you give something back in exchange for what you're taking? So the indigenous ceremonies is mostly based on gratitude, giving thanks back. Now, that's not a part of the Western medical model because it's not a part of the Eurocentric condition and culture that we live in. So,
correct.
To me, it's in a recognition of that if we stop feeding the spirits that feed us our lives, then they're going to start pulling away in some way. And we're hurting ourselves when we don't give gratitude back to those powers. So just take the four elements, the earth, the water, the fire, the air, all material things, but they're energy things and indigenous knowing. They're spirits there. Those are spirits, conscious spirits. And so for all that they give to us, which is 24/7, all the days of our lives, then it's important for us to have balance to maintain the relationships that they'll keep giving to us in a healthy way, that life can continue by saying, hey, thank you. Ceremony is about saying, hey, thank you for this. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So when we do that, that creates balance and harmony, which is the opposite of what we're having right now.
Right. And that helps restore the sacred in everyday life, which even if we're not doing a ceremony, we can start to appreciate more and more and take back control. Are there particular practices or rituals that people can do on a daily basis that, bring into routine that help them towards that type of experience and perspective, even if they're not doing a journey?
Absolutely. As I mentioned a moment ago, our bodies, this is what science tells us, our bodies are made of atoms, right? Atoms came from explosions in the sun, solar explosions. So our bodies are basically made of star. Our lives are fueled by this energy that comes from the sun. You take away the sun, we're not here, right? So every day, there's an infusion of life force, wisdom, energy from the universe, literal life force, wisdom, energy that's pouring into Mother Earth, that's giving to us free. So to get up in the morning and go outside and face the east, look at the sun. If it's cloudy, the sun's still there. If it's rainy, it's still there. You just got to work a little harder to connect with it and say, hey, thank you for shining today. Thank you for bringing the life force to Mother Earth, a teaching reminder of our true nature, illumination. Our bodies are made of light. We're being fueled by light. Thank you for this. So taking just 60 seconds to go do that, and do it from the heart. So it's not just empty mouth noises, but from the heart. Thank you for shining today. We would be up Schitt's Creek if you weren't shining today.
Yep.
So, right? What we're doing there is we're availing ourselves consciously of a life force energy. We're charging our batteries. We're filling up our tanks with that wisdom power of the energy to strengthen our ability to go forward into whatever the challenges of the day are, not just with our ego power and ego identity, but a recognition I'm connected to something that's much larger, that's giving me life, that knows how to do things I have no clue how to do. And I can act, and it's free. I don't get a bill at the end of the month. It's given to me freely. Every day. Very simple.
That is very simple, and it's an interesting perspective. We don't think about it that way often. So
exactly, which speaks to our alienation from the life force.
Yep. Yeah. No, that's a really great analogy there, which begs the question for me as I'm thinking about it. You know, you're a doctor, you're a psychologist. Who? PhD, how do you see? Yeah, how do you see the complement between neuroscience and spirituality in understanding healing and transformation? Because they're not the same, but in so many ways they are connected.
I was just reading a science report of research a couple of days ago indicating neuroscience of, let me see if I can articulate it correctly. Maybe the best way to say it, the brain works most effectively, most efficiently, actualizing its potentials when the neurons, when more and more neurons are connecting with each other.
Right.
Working cooperatively together. The same dynamic on that micro level within our brains, physical brains, is what's happening in nature on the outer level. As we know, more recently, Darwin's, was not all about competition, that the ones to survive are the ones who were, you know, the best competitors. It's the ones who cooperate most successfully that produce the sustaining of healthy life. So what's true in the macro is true in the micro. The same thing in the neuro level of what's going on in our brains. And psychedelics, as we're able to ascertain with the instruments of science, help open up more connections within the brain, more synaptic connections. Parts of the brain that aren't usually connected with each other, the psychedelics can open up those, you might say, doorways that weren't open before,
right,
and activate neurogenesis.
That makes sense. Yeah, which, you know, this also leads me to the point, we speak to a lot of clinicians who are working with ketamine, some are working with MDMA, some work with other substances, that we've had some who work with ibogaine for a particular especially for trying to heal from addiction. But a lot who are still have a lot of questions, but most don't necessarily get into the spiritual or ceremonial frameworks. What advice do you give to those who want to learn about that and how to integrate it into their therapeutic practice without crossing the boundaries, but still want to blend them together?
If you think about our relationships with ourselves and with each other. There's we're way more than we think we are. We're way more. Our identification dynamic is predicated on our physical bodies. I am my physical body, my ego identity in relationship to my physical body, and the stories my ego cooks up. That's who I am. That's a very constricted, you might say, dreaming too small, misunderstanding of who and what we are.
Right.
So in our relationships with each other, what's in ourselves, what's most important about the essence level of who we are? Are we more than our physical bodies, or are we just our physical bodies? Are we just our egos, or are we more than that? And if we go deeper down into the essence level of who and what we are, we're way more than our ego, and we're way more than our physical body. What are we? Spirit. If you don't like the word spirit, we're all energy fields and dynamic. There's no such thing as a solid thing here. We're all correct. Basically energy patterns interacting in a particular form for a particular limited time. And when
we're a consciousness, so which is connected.
Level, yeah. So when we're looking for healing, we're looking for transformation. Why exclude the deepest part of who we are from the work that we're doing? Include all the other levels. We're multidimensional beings. So include all physical, emotional, mental, and open the doorway to recognizing. Let's also address the deepest level of who and what we are, spirit.
Right.
Yep. In ways that are meaningful. So we're not selling a religion. We're not trying to get people to believe something that we believe. But one of the questions I ask people when they come to see me is, what do you believe, if anything, that's bigger than yourself?
Yep.
And people will say, some people will say, well, I don't believe in anything bigger than myself. I say, okay, when this next breath leaves your body, don't do another breath.
Right. Well, people will identify all sorts of things that are bigger than themselves fundamentally when they sit down and think about it. But then they think about their place within it as well. Right. So people think about religion and they start associating God, but also the teachings and that they follow those teachings, whether, you know, whereas others think there is no God, there is me. And once I pass, everything ends, which those are incongruent. What we're looking for, though, is, you know, the connection above and beyond.
Yeah, so I'm not, let's take away the, you know, the word God and all that it implies with religion, and just deal with, what do you believe in, if anything, that's bigger than yourself? Well, I don't believe in anything. I'm just a physical body. When I die, it's all over. I don't believe in anything bigger than myself. So go, take that breath, take it in, feel it, and when it leaves, don't take another breath. And so what happens after a period of time? After a while, if I don't breathe again, I'm going to pass out, right?
Correct.
So something bigger than me that I didn't create is coming into me to give me life. I didn't create that breath. You are in relationship to something that's bigger than you, that you didn't create, that's flowing life force into you. Doesn't matter what you call it, just recognize your own direct experience. You are involved, you are related, you're interrelated, interconnected with powers, energies, whatever you want to call it, that are bigger than you, that give you your life.
Absolutely. And you're also connected generationally.
Absolutely. The opportunity in being alive is for you to reflect on with the understanding that you're being breathed by something larger than yourself. What kind of relationship do you have with that power, that force that's giving you life? What kind of relationship do you have with it? Because you do have access to basically the intelligence of the universe. Doesn't matter what you call it. It's flowing life into you. How do you want to access it?
Which actually leads me back to your book, The Psychedelic Shaman, where you write about the wisdom warrior and the path. What defines that path, and how does it differ from other spiritual approaches?
Well, I don't know that it differs from other spiritual approaches at the essence dynamics of all spiritual approaches, from what I see, is opening up to spirit and how to be a channel for what spirit gives you. Again, not serving me, but serving that higher will of spirit, the we. How can I serve we instead of my ego gratification? So wisdom, when I speak about in the title of my book, A Wisdom Warrior, we all know the horrible aspects of war, obviously, and but there are positive aspects to the warrior spirit, discipline of training, and sustained focus of attention, develop skills about how to deal with different kinds of energy. So calling on those positive aspects of the warriors, clear focus of intention and perseverance with training. In this case, training the mind, learning how to use the mind, the instrument of the mind to access spirit and access that greater wisdom than our egos, higher consciousness, to address the challenges that we have in our lives. So what is wisdom? To me, my understanding of wisdom is knowing that the great mystery of the universe, if you want to call it God, the Tao, Buddha, Joe Schmo, Billy Poobah, doesn't matter what you call it, that
right.
we have wisdom, let's put it this way, we have wisdom codes embedded into us through billions of years of evolution. And there's practices that can help us access those embedded wisdom codes that provide guidance about how to live our lives in a way of harmony and balance with the creations that we're living in to sustain healthy life. So to the understandings of those wisdom codes that are embedded inside of us, therein is the basis of a cosmic intelligence about how to live in harmony with the creation that is in us and that we're in. That to me is right. The spiritual path.
Interesting. Fascinating. So, Tom, we are unfortunately running out of time for today. People who want to learn more, I mean, they can pick up your book through a number of sources, Amazon included, The Psychedelic Shaman. How else can they learn more? You know, whether they're a practitioner who wants to learn more about the use of psychedelics and shamanic approaches, or just a general individuals, how can they learn more about you and your practices and how to proceed?
Well, thanks for asking, Richard, and thanks for having me on, and blessings on your work. You could go to my website, Dr. Tom Pinkson, PINKSON.com. And every Sunday, my older daughter and I do a half an hour called Shamanic Sundays, which is free access to anybody wants. I do a monthly Live, Love, Now group with our Zoom at fantastic price of, I think it's $9 a month. You can join up for that. So you can find out about how to access all of that at my website. Other books that I've written, videos, YouTube, songs, all kinds of materials available to try to help us wake up, wise up, and bottom line, live love alive in 2025.
Well, that's wonderful. Thanks so much for joining us today, Tom. It was really informative.
Take care.
And thanks to everybody for listening. I'm Richard Zwicky with High and Healthy, and we'll be back again with you soon.
How much money do you lose every time you miss a customer call? With a Buzz CRM, you never have to worry about that again. Their system automatically texts missed calls and engages leads instantly using conversational AI. It turns your missed opportunities into booked appointments automatically. It's a complete game changer for local businesses. Secure your access today for a massive discount at thebuzzcrm.com. That's thebuzzcrm.com.